Good morning. This morning's scripture reading will be taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. That's Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
Good morning. Special welcome to all of our guests who are here today. We have people from San Diego. We have folks from Ventura. We even have some folks here from New Mexico, some from Georgia. We have some folks here today who are going to a softball tournament this week. We're just glad to have all of you who've come from different places to join us today to worship the Lord, and hope you have an opportunity to truly worship and praise the Lord from your heart today. Among our visitors, we have a couple of folks who are just so dearly loved here, and that's, of course, JJ and Isabel. We're so thankful to have them with us today. They're well-loved and respected for their, not only for their many years of service to the Lord in this place, but just for who they are and the love that we have for them and the friendship that we've had through the years. And JJ, we're just hope you come up and at least give us a greeting. Let us know how you're all doing. And yeah. I'd say this is the day to go for it. Go for it.
Isn't it great to be in the family of God? Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, I love to go places that I haven't been for a number of years, and it's always good to be back home. And one of the things that I like to hear is, "You have not changed at all. You're still as ugly as you've always been." No, but seriously, though, we're in Atlanta, and we went to Atlanta from Denver, where we were working with the Bible Institute there right after I had a stroke about 11 years ago. And now, for the first time in 20 years, I have both of my children there. They're on the north side of Atlanta, and we're on the south side. John Allen with his three girls, 16, 14, and 12. You know, time has a way of just slipping by, doesn't it? Then, of course, Sandra with Gabriel, my baseball player, 13, 5 foot, almost 11, 145 pounds, hit a home run of 325 yards, Stan, he's just moving right along. We're out here every year, Lord willing, we try to come to San Diego for Isabel's family reunion. Yesterday in San Diego, we had probably about 175 there, and man, that's a lot of Mexican food, so, but it's great to be back here with the family, and hardly a week goes by, at least every month, we think about or say something about the Newland family. Of course, I have pictures on my wall of certain things that happened here at Newland, and we love you and thank you for your love. And for those of you that we don't know, we take cash, credit cards, or stamps. Thank you, Richard, for this moment, brother.
I think JJ and I have something in common. We both have photos of Rod in our homes. I won't tell you what we do with those photos of Rod, but we both got them. So. I think that's why JJ and I hit it off so well years ago. But no, I think we both love Rod so much. He's been a blessing to both of us in our ministries, and an encouragement to us continues to be. And it's always a blessing to have you folks here. We just wish it were more often. We really love you. You know, last week this time we were anticipating a week together. It's been called Service in the Sun. That was kind of the name of the program of the ministry for the week. And we started off last week in Luke chapter 4, looking at the mission statement of Jesus as he gives it to the synagogue, his home synagogue in Nazareth, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Do you remember as he's speaking to his hometown, he's handed the scroll of Isaiah. He opens it up to what we would know of as Isaiah 61. and he begins to read. And he's going to say that, you know, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And he turns to a passage that's talking about this wonderful time in the future of Israel, where the glory of Zion will come and God will act on behalf of his people and the new age will arrive. And Jesus reads that text and applies it to himself. And he tells us why he has come to the earth. And it's simply to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus comes to do nothing less than to usher in the kingdom of God. God wants to make things new in people's life. He wants people who are downtrodden to be set free, and people who are shackled with sin to be left free, and for the oppressed to be released and to be set free. He longs for that new year, the year of the Lord's favor, when everything starts over and all debts are canceled. This is the coming of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. But you know, Jesus, who came to do this, did not come to do it alone. In Luke chapter 9, he called together 12 apostles. J.R. just read the text to us a moment ago, and in that text you'll recall that Jesus said that he was sending them out to preach the kingdom of God. And then we're told later in verse 6 that they go out to preach the good news and to heal. They're going to say that the Lord Jesus is coming and the kingdom of God is coming and God's doing amazing things on this earth and your life can be blessed by what God is doing in the world today. And then they come back after they go out in verse 10, and it says, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. I think how exciting it would have been to be with the 12 and with Jesus as those 12 men told Jesus what had happened in those days when they went out teaching and preaching and proclaiming the good news and healing the sick to announce the coming of the kingdom of God in this world. But that wasn't the end of it. Jesus called together 70 or 72 of his disciples in Luke chapter 10. And in verse 1 we read, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what's set before you. And listen, here's their commission. Heal the sick who were there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. And Jesus sends them out to proclaim that message of good news. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is coming in Jesus. And they go to prepare the way for Jesus, who's going to be following them. 36 pairs of disciples going out door to door, town to town. And then when the whole experience is over, in verses 17 to 20, they report back. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We too have been sent out by Jesus. He didn't stop with those 72, did he? He commissioned his disciples, his apostles, and through them and the Great Commission, he commissioned his people, the church of all time, to go and to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, the good news of Jesus Christ and salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this last week, we've had a special opportunity to do that together, joined with our brothers and sisters from the Keller Church of Christ, along with so many of the congregation here. Every single day, we were out in the community sharing, serving, doing different things to basically announce the coming of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. It was a great week. That's what the board looked like in the fellowship hall every morning. You won't be able to read that, but those are the work assignments for the day. We went doing all sorts of things. We went serving in people's homes. There was hard work being done, loving people, sharing the good news. And every day, at least somewhere between 55, 60 people going out into this community, giving glory to God, serving in the name of Jesus. And like the 12 and like the 72, the week is over. I don't know how long they were gone. Our particular program was for a week. And I think it's time to report. It's time to report, like they did when they came back, to report all that the Lord had done. And it started off for us last Sunday in the park, over at Liberty Park, where we had a picnic, and there was food, and there was fellowship, but it wasn't just for us. We enjoyed it, of course, but we went out throughout the park, and every single person in the park was invited to come over and share a meal with us. And so many people did. We were so glad to have them come over. I was amazed at how people we had never met before, people who were strangers to us, came over to sit down and to talk. And one young man who stayed for over an hour and talked with people in our group, and another gentleman with his children who wanted to find out about our Bible classes. An entire family sat down with one brother and talked for 30 minutes and opened up their Bibles and studied together. And we even had some visitors here last Sunday morning who were visiting here. They came to the park with us and enjoyed the meal, and they went to the people in the park and introduced them to the church that they were visiting this last Sunday morning. It was amazing just to see the folks who connected, the discussions, the conversations that took place in the park last Sunday. And then every day there were service projects. Yes, there were windows washed, Mike. There were a lot of windows washed. 3 to 4 teams went out every day to different people's homes, doing yard work, repairs, light maintenance jobs, a variety of projects around people's houses. We went to the homes of our members. We went to the homes of our members, friends of our members, and neighbors of members, and friends of neighbors. We just went to all sorts of homes just to try in some small way to serve, to share. And it was an opportunity to show our love and concern, to do good deeds in the name of Jesus, to draw attention to Christ and to the love that we share in Christ. And everyone, I think those who went out, those who invited us in, and we thank you for being so gracious to do that. We were all blessed in the fellowship and the opportunity to serve. And then there was the hot work out here in the field next door, which is turning into a garden and a little park area. There were trenches being dug for irrigation. The good news is, if you're from Texas, last week was really cool here. It was like only 82 degrees. I was like, whoa, you people are complaining. So, hey, digging ditches in 82-degree weather was like no problem there at all. And our young folks were out there with them, too. People were digging trenches, picking up some rocks. Planter boxes were being built, the first of them that are going to go out there. We're going to invite our neighbors to come in, have a place to grow things. We have so many apartments around us and people who can't grow, can't have gardens. We're going to reach out to them, give them that opportunity. The tables went from raw lumber to stained by the end of the week. Just amazing amount of work going into that. In case you wondered when you came in today and saw picnic tables in the foyer, that's not where they're going to stay. But right now there's pipe being laid out here in the garden area next door, and as soon as that pipe goes in, we'll be able to move the tables over, looking forward to that. It's going to be a great area, not only for us to enjoy, but it's a place to invite people to join us, and it's a place to invite neighbors to come and to grow things and to get to know our neighbors. And then there was a door knocking. Here's Spencer and his wife and their kids going out. There were close to 2,000 homes that we visited during the course of this week, visiting our neighbors, having all sorts of conversations about all manner of things, inviting them to come and to worship with us, finding out what their needs might be. We took prayer requests throughout the neighborhood. We had dozens and dozens of prayer requests, many people who gave us their phone number and said, would you call us back? Yeah, please call us back, see how things are going. And we have an invitation to come back to those families and to connect with them and hopefully see something come of that relationship. There were folks visiting parks and meeting people there and handing out bottles of water and sharing Christ at downtown Disney and all kinds of things going on. There were so many people doing so many things. When you begin to list it, you just kind of run out of room on the paper. There are those of you who involve yourself with transportation, carrying people from place to place, even bringing luggage from the airport. Those of you who housed 46 visitors, I believe, from Texas, 46 people. were given hospitality in our homes. There were folks here cooking breakfast for us every morning from our congregation. People who purchased food, people who cooked food, who served, who cleaned up, just all the aspects of hospitality that were enjoyed. There was the designing of tracts and the writing of tracts and the printing of tracts and the folding of tracts and the folding of tracts and the folding of tracts. Some of you put in hours folding tracts, putting them in little green and white envelopes. 7,000 tracts, I think, were folded in preparation for this week. And almost all of those have been distributed in our community and handed to people with conversation. There were the mapping out of the areas, the people who did the maps, the folks who got the clipboards, the prayer request forms, who got all the materials ready for door knocking. At the picnic, some of our brothers secured the site for us early in the morning. There was the setup. There was carrying everything over, bringing everything back. The food preparation, the service, the cooking, everything that happened at the park. And those who went out and met people and invited them over. And those of you who sat at a table with someone you'd never met before, and you got into conversations with them, and who knows, at the end of that conversation, many times phone numbers and names are being exchanged so we can keep in contact with people. It was just an absolutely amazing afternoon at the park, ending with a time of worship and praise to God. There was designing t-shirts and getting the t-shirts produced and distributing them. And then so many were involved over at the field next door, which is no longer a field. You know, this picture was taken a couple of months ago. This was after the 4 to 5 feet of weeds and grass was mowed down. And then that real tough work began. And who knew that it was so steep over there? You know, when we finally got all those weeds out, we thought, man, that's a steep piece of land. Either that or somebody slipped with their phone, I'm not sure. But, you know, the hard work for weeks. This went on, I mean, hundreds of man hours and women hours and children hours on that little piece of ground that's just been sitting there that now is going to be used for the Lord. Such hard work. So many servant leaders who, you know, this is the kind of thing nobody really knows, but like that have been meeting for months. People who've been coming together and meeting for months, who assumed responsibilities over certain areas, and who started the planning process and who organized that, and then recruited teams. And it wasn't very hard to recruit teams because we just said, who will help? And you've all filled up the sign-up sheets and volunteered to be on those teams. And so many servant workers with such devotion and time and sacrifice. Those who have given sacrificially of their time, of their money, those who contributed today, and those of you who've been supporting this outreach in prayer for the last several weeks. So many who've been serving. We give thanks to the elders who stepped out in faith. And I'm only going to mention one person by name because I thought if I start mentioning names, there's like 100 people or maybe 120 to mention. But we, you know, I just got to say, I thank God for Mike. I thought that was an appropriate picture of you, Mike, because when he came back from Texas and shared his plans, I thought, brother, you have dug yourself a hole. And I don't know how you're going to get out of it. But you know, Mike saw something from the beginning that a lot of us eventually came to see. And that was an opportunity. And that God could do something good. And there were times along the way, and maybe Mike felt this way too, where thought, I don't know, this seems to be a little bit more than we should be biting off. But you know, Mike had a vision for what could take place, and he truly encouraged us all. I went from, what are you thinking, Mike, to praise God for Mike, for just building a fire under all of us. And I'll probably get in trouble for this, but Mike's here before 6 o'clock every morning this week, one of the last ones to get home every night. And I thank God for Mike because he embodies true servant leadership. He served us in leading us, and he showed us. And, you know, God took the dirt out of that hole and made a mountain out of it, didn't he? And one that brings glory and honor to God, not to us, not to Mike, but to God, because there were so many who volunteered, who helped, who worked, who served in so many ways. This has been a complete team effort. the body of Christ has been energized, each member doing its own part, in harmony, in unity, in love, in joy, everybody doing what we could do. And it, boy, just reminded me through the week of the folks who got together and got the tabernacle built, and the folks who came up around Nehemiah and the walls of Jerusalem went up. And it made me think of the 12. It made me think of the 72 being sent out and of the good things that happen when God works through His people. And on Thursday morning, Bill and Georgia Conaway were baptized. Had nothing to do with our efforts in terms of the group from Keller, but Sid Stewart's been coming out here. Sid is Georgia's brother. He's been teaching them about the Lord for years. He's been modeling the Christian faith as a faithful brother in Christ. He got a phone call from his sister and brother-in-law saying they wanted to be baptized. And he drove out from Texas, and several of us met up with him, and we assisted in that baptism. Bill and Georgia live in Huntington Beach. They are have very difficult health situations. We're really hoping that they're going to be able on some occasion to attend here. But they're, especially Georgia, very, very feeble, having to be helped into the baptistry out of a wheelchair, but coming to know Christ at that late time in their life. Such a blessing for us to be a part of that. And it was a serendipitous thing, because several who were involved in service in the sun happened to get over to the church building just as the baptism was taking place. And then Thursday we were at the beach, and a young man came over to play volleyball. And after playing volleyball, he sat down to study the Bible for a couple of hours, I think, with Spencer and with Peter. He was a young man from a troubled background, been searching for God, who's been looking for some kind of hope in his life because so much in his life had gone wrong. And he was taught the gospel. His name's Will Smith. And Will Smith was baptized into Christ on Thursday night down at Huntington Beach. And he's welcomed into the family of God. Will isn't living in our area right now. All those of us who come to know him understand his situation. We're going to be visiting him shortly in the next month or two. He'll be moving back to his home in Riverside, where we'll be putting him in touch with the church there. But what a wonderful way to end Thursday evening. After Will was baptized, having our devotional there around the fire, it was just amazing, an amazing day, an amazing week. And so many others like Will who heard the good news this week, we pray, please pray, don't give up praying for the seed that has been planted. You know, some days you just want to say, thanks be to God. Some days your hearts just overflow. You just think, how awesome to be a Christian. How wonderful to be in the family of God, to have a life that you can spend serving people and sharing good news and telling people there's a way out. There's a way to God. There's a way to come into fellowship with your Creator. There's some days you just want to say, God, thank you so much. Thank you for opening up doors of opportunity. Thank you for being with us. And we come back like the 12, like the 72. We come before God today. We report to Jesus with great joy all that He has done for us. And I'm thinking about that this week. I wonder, why do you think Jesus had him report? Why did Jesus have him report what had happened? And I'll tell you, I think I know why He had him report, because when you begin to report it, when you begin to think about it, when you begin to let your mind reflect over everything that has happened and you look back over the entire experience, it has an impact on your life. It does something to you. It impacts you. And I think all of us who've been involved to whatever degree, because I think nearly everyone in this church is in some way has been a support to this ministry, it makes an impact on your life. It's definitely made an impact on my life in terms of wanting to give God thanks and praise. Just like, God, thank you for bringing this about. Thank you for making that initial connection between our two congregations. Thank you for the way your providence worked through Mike and Legatha's family and Keller and to bring our two congregations into fellowship so that we could do this work together. We give God the praise for all of this. All of this is His, isn't it? It's all been empowered by Him. We've stepped up and we've worked, but this has all been constructed by God and engineered by God and empowered by God and blessed by Him. And I'm thankful for that church in Keller, for their willingness to sacrifice their time and their money and their energies and to come, and some of those folks to take a week's vacation to come out here and to not just chaperone their kids, but to be involved in all of the works that we did. It makes me want to thank and praise God for every member of this church, those who are involved day by day in the ministry, but also those who have been supporting the ministry in prayer and with your finances and with just your concern and in every way you possibly could. We thank and praise God for every precious soul we encountered. It's amazing how many people we talked to this week. We had spiritual conversations with. You know, I'll talk about that in just a moment, but the Lord just opened up so many doors, and we give Him thanks for that, for the experience, for the opportunities, to give us strength and boldness. And it had an impact on our faith. It certainly did on mine. Several people here stepped out of their comfort zone this last week, and several people from Keller confessed the same. We stepped out of our comfort zones. We did some things we hadn't done before. We did some things we didn't think we'd really like to do. And we discovered nobody died. We stepped out and we survived. And not only did we survive, but it was like God blessed everything. And you could just see God saying, yeah, if you see what happens when you do that, see what I'm going to do in response to that, see the conversation that you're going to have with that individual. And you see God at work, and you see His providence bringing people together and bringing up conversations in such a variety of ways. I was amazed. And I need to confess sin over this, but maybe lack of faith is a better. I was amazed at how open people were to talking to us about the Lord, people who were complete strangers to us, people you never met before, who just come over and sit at your picnic table in the park and sit down and eat lunch with you and talk to you for an hour and tell you about their life and say, yeah, here's my phone number and connect with you and to have an opportunity. And they're just, and you go, we went going door to door, and those people who went door to door every day, find folks who are saying, yeah, would you pray for my mom? She's in hospice care. I'm having trouble with the immigration process. Would you pray that will go smoothly for me? All kinds of prayers for people who are in need of jobs, people who had family members who were sick. You know, I'm guilty of something. I'm guilty of saying, well, you know, it's just the changing demographics. We just live in a different world. People out there aren't interested anymore. Boy, was I wrong. There are people, I'm sure there's some folks who aren't very interested, but there are people right around here that are very interested, people that are hurting, people that need God, and people that we can reach out to. There is that longing, and God is at work in those kinds of conversations, at least to start that process. And the folks who weren't very nice, the very few people who are like, get off my porch and don't ever come back, you know what? They're just in Satan's clutches, and we love them too. We long for God to break that barrier down. There's no need for us to be afraid. I think we all discovered that. You go out in the name of the Lord. There's no need to be afraid. God opens doors. God brings people together. And God's providence is at work. There are people who are longing for God. You know, over this last several months, you may or may not remember some lessons that we had about praying that God would send laborers out into the field. And you know, we become the answer to that prayer by going out ourselves. And we talked for several weeks about how it was time to get out of the boat. And you know, a lot of us have stepped out of the boat. And we've seen God's power at work. We've seen God at work in our faithfulness to Him. And God has helped us to serve Him in confidence. And many of us look back over on a time that seemed so far out of our reach, so much more than we could do with our limited resources. And yet God has been faithful, and God has been at work. And we give the glory to God for everything that's transpired. I think it's also impacted my desire, and I hope yours, to serve, to be committed to service. You know, it was a pretty intense week. Early mornings and late nights and hard work in between. But it's so filled with joy, so filled with fellowship and with worship and with praise and just being together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I admit this, it's probably going to be a while before we have a week like that, before we have a week with so many people and such intensity, in such a concentrated period of time. That may be a unique experience for us and not something that happens often. But I think what this last week has taught all of us is that this is something we can do every day. It's not something that just happens for a special week. We can go over to that park any Sunday and have a picnic and meet people and talk to them. We can do it. Any day of the week, I can go to my next door neighbor and talk with him about the Lord. I don't have to wait for a special time. We can do it any time. We can do it any day of the week. If we hear there's somebody in the church that's got a need around their house, maybe one of our folks is unable to take care of it themselves, or maybe it's their neighbor. You know what we can do now? We can say, hey, we got folks over at the church. We'll come over and take care of that for you. We've got people come over and serve you. We can do that. We don't need a group from Texas here to do that, do we? We can serve in the name of Jesus every day, every week, that God gives us the opportunity to do it. And if I hear that there's a need in the ministry of the church, I can volunteer to help anytime. I can get involved in the Lord's work and make a difference in the kingdom anytime. And we can serve God every day of our lives. Ministry, evangelism, and sharing the good news, they're not special events. It's a way of life. Service in the sun is not a one-week project. It's not limited to that. Service in the sun is a way of life. A way to serve, to reach out, to continue to evangelize, to share the good news with people whose lives are hurting and broken. And today we simply, like the disciples before us, report all that God has done. We report it with joy and with thanksgiving. We give God the praise and the glory. We worship God today for what He's done in His people and His church. This is His doing. This is His power and might. And our faith is renewed. And our desire to serve has been strengthened and is stronger than ever. And yet Jesus reminds us, as He told the 72, that as good as this is, as wonderful as this is, there's even greater news still. It's the outcome of the faithful life. As Jesus said to His apostles and His disciples on that occasion, don't rejoice just that the spirits are subject to you in my name. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice at the assurance of your salvation. Rejoice that you have experienced the coming of the kingdom of God in your life, and you have been set free, and your sins have been forgiven, and you do know the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And as we do that today, and as we praise God for His grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, let's determine that we will continue in every way possible to share this good news with the people around us who are still hurting, who are still lost, who are still in need of salvation and the grace and love of God. Today we praise God for that assurance. We commit ourselves to sharing that good news. And we say to any among us, if you haven't yet come to know the life in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, we invite you to Christ. We invite you to come to Him, to have your sins forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Jesus that was shed for you on the cross, to forgive you of your sins, to bring the good news of the kingdom to your life, to make things new in your life, to set you free from the things that have shackled you, to give you an opportunity to start over as a child of God. And if there are any among us today who are ready to make that commitment, we invite you. We invite you to experience the salvation that's found in Christ Jesus and to begin your life as a disciple. If there are any in the family today who need prayers for something in your life or to renew your commitment to serve the Lord God, we invite you as well. Let's stand together and encourage each other in this song.